Okay, beginning a new sugya on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. As we mentioned at the end of yesterday, the first of a whole series of sugyas, they're going to take us through the intricacies of Doshim Miskavim, Tikreishas, and Onichalai, Nichalais, etc., which will pretty much take us till the end of the formal Zman. So comes the Gemara Lamed Gimel Amud Beis and quotes the Brayis of Tanur Rabbanan, Ein Mematim B'Yantif. One is not allowed to pluck off the Inbe Hadas on Yantif. And the Gemara is going to explain in a moment, but doing so, that's a violation of Tikkun Mona, which is part of the Malacha Machba Papish, either the love of the Raish or the love of the Rabbanon. So the Braisa starts up and saying, you're not allowed to do it, because that set the whole stage for the whole Sugya of Dichoy from the past. But now, our Sugya really begins with the next day. Mishuma Belozer Rishimin Amru, Mematim. The name of Belozer Rishimin, it was said that you are permitted to be Mamai, the Inve Adas. Correct? The Gemara, that's inconceivable. It's not Shayach that any Tana would ever permit that. So what's pshad in the laws of the Shimon? So Rav Ashi, kion shalita liachila. That we're dealing with the case that the person is plucking off the berries not to be machshed adas, rather to eat the berries. So Rav Laz of the Shimon, sovla kevua, diyam adav Shimon is kavin mutter. Rav Laz of the Shimon, not surprisingly, holds like his father, Shimon Bar Yochai, who says that adav Shimon is kavin is mutter. What was the original statement of Shimon Bar Yochai about adav Shimon is kavin? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said that, gora adam mita kisa betah, salv sol bavashim is kavin lasas chritz, that a person is permitted to drag a chair or a bench in the backyard, even though there's a chance that he may make a hole, which potentially would be some kind of a malacha, chorish, bone, whatever the malacha is exactly, some kind of malacha would be involved. So Rabbi Shimon said, Beferish, the Braisa quotes Beferish, Rabbi Shimon, I'm a girl, other meat that keeps saying, you're allowed to do it, it's okay. You're allowed to drag the chair, even though there's a chance you can make a chritz, but actually it's kavan lasa chritz. As long as you don't have in mind to do it, it's all right. So you see from Rabbi Shimon that I'm allowed to do something, even though there's a chance that a malacha may result. As long as I'm not being miscavened for the malacha, that's fine. So it's over here. I'm plucking off the berries. I'm not having in mind to fix the hadas. The fact that the hadas may get fixed, that's not my problem. That was the guy's original composition. Just as he was matir, the dragging of the chair, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, following his father ben Shimon, should be matir, the plucking of the hadas as well. So he says that's a big difference. He says, wait a second. Abai and Rava both taught us that Rabbi Shimon agrees that if it's a tzigreishim, I know for a fact that the malach is going to happen, that's already a problem. Rabbi Shimon was only matter in the case of the kisei where there's a chance the malach may happen, but if I know for certain the malach is going to happen, like in our case where every time I pluck the berries off to eat, it is being machshed hadas, whether I wanted that or not, whether I intended that or not, it's irrelevant. That falls in the category of tzigreishim. So he says, you're right. Sigma says there's some technical quirk over here. This is different because the person already has another available hadas. So therefore, question mark. I'm not sure what the therefore is. Therefore, wow. So that's going to be the next thing, what the therefore is. So we're not even anywhere near that at that point. But the point that we want to extract from our sugi is that Abai v'Rava Dami Teva Amadu B'Shiva Segresha. That's a given. The Gemara doesn't even entertain us anyone to disagree that Rabbi Shimon for sure agrees when it comes to Segresha, all bets are off, Psikresha trumps everything. Atkan, the part we want to extract from Agamemnon. So there's a very, very small taisa here. It's almost a very misleading taisa because it's so small on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Little do you know that the same taisa appears in a much, much longer version in Masechet Shabbos and in Masechet Pesach and Masechet Yuma. It grows, this taisa. I mean, by the time it gets to Yuma, it takes up two pages. But the basic gist of the taisa has already been said over here. But taisa raises a problem. This statement of the Gemara in Sukkah Lamed Gimel, this milsa de pshita, that murder of Shimon Segresha v'lo yamus, seems to be contradicted by a Gemara that appears in Maseches Krisos on Daf Chaf Amud Beis. So we need a little bit of a background to what in the world the Gemara is talking about to appreciate Tosafot's question, to appreciate what the ramifications of Tosafot's question and what ultimately the ramifications of Tosafot's answers are. The Gemara Maseches Krisos on Daf Chaf is talking about the following case. You have a person, there's a barbecue out there, got a whole bunch of coals sitting in the back, and the coals are lit up, at least some of them are lit up, and he is doing something to these coals. He's moving around the coals a little bit, maneuvering the coals a little bit, stoking the coals, whatever he's doing, and it's not clear just how many malachas are potentially involved with that action. So there are two possible malachas. One is malach of havara, because he's igniting, by moving the coals, he's igniting some of the coals. Also potentially subject to which malacha? To kibui, because he may be extinguishing some of the coals in the process as well. So the Gemara in Maseches Krisos, and Daf Chaf Amud Beis, so if I put it on the Maim Kamos. So Gemara quotes, in the second of the Maim Kamos, Tan Rabban. Achotik Yicholim b'Shabbos. So the person is stoking the coals on Shabbos. Chayiv Chatas. He's Chayiv Chatas, but only Chayiv Chatas once. Rabbi Shimon Alozah, not to be confused with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Alozah, Rabbi Shimon Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok. Chayiv Shtayim. That unlike the Tanakam who says he only Chayiv one carbon Chatas, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tzadok says he's Chayiv twice. Why? Because by stirring the coals, stoking the coals, he is extinguishing some of the coals, the upper coals, and he's igniting the lower coals. These are two separate melachas. The Gemara tells us, the Mishnayos tells us about Sechah Shabbos, we learn that from Sukkim, the chiluk melachas to Shabbos, that a person can be chayav for multiple acts of chilul Shabbos, as long as it's a different melachas. Let's say, for example, if a person just... on Shabbos, he cooks, then he cooks again, that's only one chatas. But if he cooks, and he carries, and he writes, and he sows, and he builds, and he harvests, so he can be chayav corresponding to the amount of malachas that he does. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok says that this fellow is doing two things. So the Gemara says, wait a second, what's the case? What kind of machlekes atanoim is it? One, the Tanakhama says you only chayav once, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok said you chayav twice. Go take a look and see, are you doing two malachas or not? So the Gemara says, what's going on? The Mayaskino. If the fellow's interested, he's intending to extinguish and to ignite by time and demand the potter. So why would anybody say he's not chayav twice? But so in fact he's probably not having in mind the light as well. My time and demand the chayav tarti. So why does Rabbi Tzadok say chayav twice? So the machlokes doesn't make any sense. The Banu Shach, either he's bechavin for two or bechavin for one. That should be the outcome. How many chatos is he's chayav? What's going on? So in the third of the Mamakam was finally, after spending a half an Amud, finally the Gemara comes up with the conclusion what the Machlekes was all about. Ravashi Amar, Kagon Shadis Kavin Mechabas, Huvaru Melein. The person's intent was really only to be Mechabah. No question about it. So vis-a-vis the Havara, it's a Dovah She'enim is Kavin. He's not planning on doing it. But Tanakama Savala Kribi Shivin, Yom Dovah She'enim is Kavin Potter. The Tanakhama who says you're not chayav for what you weren't having in mind to do, that's following Rabbi Shimon. That's the same Rabbi Shimon who let you drag the chair. And the same Rabbi Shimon who let you pluck the berries. So Rabbi Shimon says, vis-a-vis the Havara, it's a Dovah Shein Miskavin. So therefore you're not going to be chayav chatas. Whereas the Tanoim who disagreed with Rabbi Tzadok, he was of the opinion like Rabbi Yehuda, who said Dovah Shein Miskavin is chayav. And therefore, notwithstanding the fact that you're not mechavin for avara, if lemais it's happening anyway, you're going to be chayav chatas for that. So that's the nekudas of machlokes. So when all the dust settles, the machlokes is, are you chayav for avara or not? So the facts are, your einam is chavin. You're not mechavin to avara. You're mechavin for avara, there's nothing to talk about. And the nekudas of machlokes is, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then you're chayav for the avara. If you hold like Rabbi Shimon, then you're potter for the avara. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. So I'll tell you the truth, if I would have just read the Gemara the way it is, I wouldn't have been too concerned. I already know there's a machlokes, so now we just plug the machlokes and decreases the Dafchav. So Tosfos addresses that sugya in Krisos to the eyes of one basic fundamental premise, and that premise that causes significant problems and causes huge Tosfosim and causes the next couple of days this year. So one premise of Tosfos. And the one premise of Tosfos is not, has nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon. It has everything to do with who? Rabbi Yehuda. Comes tells and says, I don't understand this statement of the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Oy Mechayev. I know everything is good to Rabbi Shimon. I know that it was only Rabbi Shimon Oy Megor Adam Miki Kisei Vesav. So the Mishnah Beitza says, Rabbi Yehuda held also the Adam Megor Kisei, whatever it is, Miki Vesav. So I don't need a Gemara in Krisos. I don't need a Tosfos in Krisos to tell me. I don't need Tosfos in Sukkah to tell me that there's a machlokes we read in Rabbi Shimon. But Tosfos looks at this Gemara and says there's a word on this board that is poshut down, absolutely outright wrong. What is that word that's on the board that's just wrong? Rabbi Yehuda only said one word, chayev. That word is wrong, says Tosfos. You know why that word is wrong? What's wrong about that word? What's bad about that word? The word chayev in Shabbos always translates to mean what? You see the word chayev, you see the word deraisa. What that Gemara Krisos is telling us, if it's using that bad word chayev, that Rabbi Yehuda's angle on Dovah She'enim is Kavin is that's a machlokes, that's also in a Torah. Now, I don't know if that's true yet. All I know is that Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to shlop a chair on Shabbos. That I know. You can't drink the chair on Shabbos. I know Rabbi Yehuda says Dovah She'enim is Kavin is Osir. Tosfos says, based on the Gemara Krisos, Rabbi Yehuda is saying much, much, much more than that. He's saying that Dovah Shem Miskaven is Chayav. That means it's also in a Torah. And Tosfos has reasons to believe that that is not a correct statement. I'm not willing to divulge it what the reason is. Hopefully everybody saw it in Seder. But that's the premise of Tosfos. That the word Chayav derives, it can't be true.
Doesn't Tosfos also have a problem with Rabbi Shimon?
Wait, we're getting there. We're building up the drama, the excitement for the Tosfos.
Tosfos didn't because of the Lashon. I thought it was because the fact that Chayav Korban.
That's what it means. Chayav means Chayav Korban. Yeah, that's what it means. So comes Tosfos and says, there's only one way to salvage Rabbi Yehuda. How are you going to salvage Rabbi Yehuda? How can you make Rabbi Yehuda Chayav? What do you have to do? What do you have to do to make Rabbi Yehuda Chayav? You can't call it a plain Dov Shem Miskaven. That's not shayach to say that. So you have to hike it up a little bit, up the ante a little bit, and call it a what? It must be a psik ratio. That's what it must be. It must be a psik ratio. It must be, this is not standard Rabbi Yehuda. Standard Rabbi Yehuda, when there's a 50-50 chance in the malach happening, that we trust Tosfos, they had some deep, dark, secret raya tucked away in Yehuda, Flam and Dal, they haven't exposed us yet. But there's some reason Tosfos was inconceivable for the Balei Tosfos that Rabbi Yehuda should have held its deraisa. So therefore they had to take Dov Shem Miskaven here and say, it's not really Dov Shem Miskaven. What it really means is, it's derech psik reisha. And now everything's hunky-dory. Everything is wonderful in the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda taka holds Dov Shem Miskaven is also midirabbanon. That's the Mishnah in Beitza. And when Medav Amun, Rabbi Yehuda holds its deraisa, that's what it's psik reisha. So what Tosfos just did is they almost changed the case. I thought that this fellow who's stirring the coals, there's a 50-50 chance how far it's going to happen. Tosfos says that can't be, because if that would be, then Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't match up. So we had to change, transform Dov Shem Miskaven into a psik reisha. By doing so, what disaster did we just walk into? What problem did we just create? We are just terribly guilty of overkill. Because the minute that we make this a psik reisha, then which shita do we no longer understand? Rabbi Shimon played that. I don't understand. Didn't the Gemara say on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon, Moedi Rabbi Shimon Psik Reisha V'lo Yamus? So Tosfos says, B'manushah. No matter how you tell me what this guy's doing, the guy who's stirring the coals, I want to know, give me statistics. Is he a 50% chance of making Avar or a 100% chance? If he's a 50% chance, he's calling it a Dov Shem Miskaven, then Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make any sense. If it's a 100% chance that he's going to make the coals ignite, then it's a Psik Reisha, then Rabbi Shimon doesn't make any sense. It also says, before Lama Gibbon Beis, before Bayef Rabbi Deb Trevai, but Rabbi Shimon Psik Reisha, before another Rabbi Shimon concedes a Psik Reisha, I could have learned, yeah, there's a Psik Reisha. Rabbi Shimon's mouth even Psik Reisha and go home. But because I have the Gemara in Sukkah Lama Gibbon Beis, that's telling me that Rabbi Shimon is made the Psik Reisha, and because the cow spilled the beans, as the Gemara in Yuma Lama Dal, the Tosfos was convinced meant that Rabbi Yehuda holds Dov Shem Miskaven is only the Rabbanon. Because of those two Gemaras, because Tosfos done three Masechtas, they were able to juggle three Masechtas at the same time. Because they had Sukkah Lama Gimel in front of them, and they had Yuma Lama Dal in front of them, when they learned Krisos Dav Chaf, they realized that the Gemara Krisos makes absolutely no sense. In light of those two Gemaras, Krisos doesn't read. That's Tosfos' problem. So it took Tosfos about a half a line to say that, it took Tosfos and Yuma about that to say, but it's the same cash. So in order to solve this problem, Tosfos has to do what appears to be the impossible. You know what they have to do? They have to stick to their guns that it's a psik reisha, because that's... We can't help that. We must turn this into a psik reisha. But we're stuck. It's a psik reisha, murder of Shimon Chayev. Tosfos is forced to throw another factor into this argument. There must be something else going on behind the scenes in that Gemara, in Krisos Dav Chaf, which is responsible for Rabbi Shimon not making you chayef. So Tosfos begins to think through Masechet Shabbos, whole 157 block, and look, what other factors could be playing out in Krisos Dav Chaf that don't appear on the surface of the sugya, that could be behind the scenes why Rabbi Shimon holds his potter? So Tosfos worked and worked and worked, and it came with what principle? Well, Malacha She'en Tzricha L'Gufa. That's what Tosfos said. Right? I read the Tosfos. Look at the Tosfos in Sukkah Dav Lamed Gimel. Which is exactly what Dr. Berman meant, because according to Tosfos it's the same thing, but not for now. So comes Tosfos and says, it must be David Malacha She'en Tzricha L'Gufa. What's Malacha She'en Tzricha? Wow, I never heard of that. Malacha She'en Tzricha L'Gufa means I'm digging. Leave that to hold. The hole's complicated. I'm carrying an item. I'm carrying this bottle of water across the street from Shesiyach to Shesram. That's Otsar Deraisa. I take a mace out of the house onto the street because it's smelling up the house. That's a Malach Shetzich Legufa. What does that mean? So Taisus explains Masechta Shabbos. Whenever you do Malach and Shabbos, you have to identify not just the action that you're doing, but the tachlis, the purpose of why you're doing the malacha, and you have to compare and contrast that to the purpose that the malacha was done in the days of the Mishkan. Why was carrying done in the Mishkan? In a very global sense. I don't want to know the specific need that they had, but that's always carrying gift place, but more than just to get something from place A to place B. They were carrying items that they wanted to use. The goal was to use the item. That was the ultimate goal. They're carrying the clay of Mikdash in order to be able to put the Mishkan back together again, right? So they're carrying a bottle of water in order to drink the water. That's okay. That's called malacha. I'm carrying a sefer to learn the sefer. That's called a malacha. I'm carrying a mace. I'm not going to use the mace for anything. I'm carrying the mace to remove the mace from point A. When the focus is to get it to point B, to use it in point B, that's a malacha deraisa. When the goal is to get it away from me, that's called malacha shetzich leguf, which just happens just by coincidence. Is a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, is that a malacha deraisa now? So Rabbi Shimon happens to hold that malacha shetzich leguf is part. So comes to us and says, if you think about it long enough, this fellow who is stirring the coals, what does he want to do? What's his goal? What did Rav Ashi say? What's he trying to do? He's trying to put the coals out. His goal is to put the coals out. In the process of putting the coals out, there's a 100% chance he's going to ignite some coals. So he is igniting coals for a purpose that is not what was done in the Mishkan. What was the goal of igniting coals in the Mishkan? To make a fire, to use those coals, to melt iron, to create kalim, whatever you had to do with it. Here, he is making a fire. He is igniting coals. But his goal is totally different. His goal was to extinguish coals. That's a blockchain, that's Yichud Gufim. Therefore, Tosha says, the real reason in Krisus Davchav why the fellow who is trying to extinguish coals and by default is ending up lighting some of the coals, the real true reason why he's part of the Kodesh to B'Shimon has absolutely nothing to do with Dov Hashem Miskavim. You know why? Why is it not Dov Hashem Miskavim? Because it's a what? It's a Psik Reisha. Why is he Potter? He's Potter because it's Malach Shetzich Lagufa. That's the real emes, the reason why he's Potter. And now the Gemara reads like a charm. Because the Gemara says, he's not Mechavi to the Havara. Half the Tadarim say Chayef, half the Tadarim say Potter. Says the Gemara says, Lo Kasha, Habi Yudah, Rabbi Shimon. And he's Gemaldic, says Taisus. You had the wrong word, Rabbi Shimon. You thought that the Machlokes, the Gemara, met with Dov Hashem Miskavim. No, it didn't really mean Dov Hashem Miskavim. It really met Malach Shetzich Lagufa. Baruch Hashem, we can breathe a sigh of relief. Until what? What's going to interfere with that breathing? Anyone look up the Gemara Maseches Krisus? Anyone bother look up the Gemara? I'll read it to you. Rav Ashi Yomar. Yonshin is Kavin L'Chabas Huvum Elayim. Tanakama Sovla Kribi Shimon Diyama Dov Hashem is Kavin Potter. Rabbi Loz Rabbi Tzodek Sovla Kribi Yehuda Diyama Dov Hashem is Kavin Chayev. If Tosis is right, what should the Gemara have said? Lo Kasha. Ha Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. Ha Kaman Yomar Malach Shai Tzuch L'Gufa Chayev. Ha Kaman Yomar Malach Shai Tzuch L'Gufa Potter. So why in the world did the Gemara mislead us by talking a different language? We have the right names, wrong shittas, wrong topic, wrong sugya. So Taisus took the Gemara and said, the Gemara cannot mean what it sounds like. It is impossible because it's trumped by a combination of Sukkah Lama Gimel with Yuma Lama Dalet. Those two Gemaras together spell disaster for Krisus Davchav. So what's really going on, says Taisus, of course it's a Psik Reisha, otherwise it really doesn't make any sense. But if it's a Psik Reisha, Rabbi Shimon should say Chayav, it must be there's another fact. And the other fact is not saying Lagufa, and that's what the Gemara really means. So why didn't the Gemara say? So you know what Taisus says in other places? Taisus says, you're right. The Gemara really should have said it. The only reason why the Gemara said that Rabbi Shimon is Kavir is to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda is so machmir that he's concerned with Malach Shetzich L'Gufa, even when you have Dov Hashem Miskavim combined together. It's for a pure fluke, a quirk, to tell me just how serious Rabbi Yehuda takes Davar Shem Miskav and Rav Shem Tzvi combined together, that's where the Gemara misled us and told us the wrong terms. But if you want to know in the heart of hearts, except for that textual quirk, that blip on the radar says, the emes lamito is that the real issue in Krisos is not a Davar Shem Miskav issue, it's not a Psikreish issue, it's a Melach Shem Tzvi Guf issue. That's how Tosis presents here in Yuma, Shal, every place, Krisos, every place the Sugya appears, Tosis comes up with the same pizza. When you see a Tosis like this, you know someone's going to disagree with this Tosis. You just feel it in your heart. You know someone's going to disagree.
What does that mean that this is a case of Malachi
Shem Tzvi? So you want to know what in the world is the combination between those two, or what is the difference between those two?
Aren't they mutually exclusive?
Are they? That's what we're going to talk about. As we go, we're going to talk about that. Okay. Hang in. Okay? We haven't yet defined properly either of those terms. So basically, I'm not as interested right now in Tosfos' solution. I'm not even so interested in all the nuances of the problem. But I want to focus on, I'll probably take up the bulk of the shiur today, maybe even into tomorrow. I want to know what prompted Tosfos to go down this road. What led Tosfos off into this prop to create this problem in the first place? So Sukkah Lama Gimel we know, but the pivotal Gemara that really, really, really got Tosfos as bothered and got the ball rolling was that Gemara in Yuma Daf Lama Daled. Because Tosfos claims that there's a Gemara out there in Yuma Daf Lama Daled that says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Davar Shein Miskaven is only also Mitzrayim. Tosfos claims that's true. If that is not true, if no such Gemara exists, if that statement can be questioned, can be challenged, then there was no need for Tosfos to revamp the Gemara in Krisos. Rabbi Yehuda could have been saying Chayiv D'Oraisa. The Gemara could have been talking about it in Mechavin. There was no need to put what into the equation. Everybody say, what bad words don't belong in the Sugya? Psikresha. You don't need Psikresha. Don't get confused with Psikresha. Learning is a simple, plain and simple old Machlaikis we didn't about Davar Shem Miskaven, call it a day. The only thing that stopped Tosfos, as they themselves say, go back to Tosfos in Sukkah. The Alkorcha Psik Ratio with the Mechayev Rabbi Yehuda to be Milsad La Psik Ratio Lake Elisur B'Alma. So Tosfos don't tell you here what prompted them to make that conclusion, but in Yuma and in Krisos and in Shabbos they tell you ganz good what led them to make that conclusion, and that's a very, very difficult Gemara Maseches Yuma. So we have to begin now learning a Sugya Yuma Lama Daled. Understanding the Gemara in and of itself, understanding what Tosfos extracted from this Gemara, why Tosfos extracted what they did, and how that created problems, and see whether there are others who disagree with Tosfos' extractions. So the Sugya starts on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis Maseches Yuma. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Almost coincidental, right? Rabbi Yehuda speaking, talking again. Ashashiyo shel barzel hay mechamim erev Yom Kippurim. Rabbi Yehuda is addressing a very simple technical problem that they had in the Beis HaMikdash. You know what it was? It was cold. Even in the Beis HaMikdash, on Yom Kippur, the holiest day, they had to deal with some, you know, I think this is Klai Yisrael still suffering out of Yom Kippur because of this. Every shul knows what's the biggest problem on Yom Kippur. The biggest problem is any shul. Climate control. Okay, it is a huge problem because half of Klal Yisrael likes to be cold, especially when they try to daven and stay awake, especially on Yom Kippur. The other half of Klal Yisrael can't stand being cold, especially when they're fasting and tired and trying to concentrate on Yom Kippur. So thus you have half of Klal Yisrael wants the thermostat set at 78 degrees and the other half wants it set at 62 degrees. And thus begins all problems. So in the old days, what was the old fight in Europe? The old fight all revolved around what? Opening and closing the windows. And today, it all revolves around what you set the thermostat at. I've had in my limited years in Orat Torah, I've had, I'll never forget one year Yom Kippur, where when davening was over, so I saw some of the men taking off their kittels, and there were amazing things underneath. So guys, we had a parker underneath, and one guy came to shul for an eel with gloves on, and other people were like, you know, schwitzing. Okay. Rabbi Sai, so they had the same problem in the basement, which was cold. And to make matters worse, sometimes the Kohen Gadol was an older man, but to make matters much more worse, he had to go to the mikvah, and the mikvah was cold. So what do you do? So So they came up with this gewaldic idea. It's called heating the mikveh. Now, they didn't have central heating in the mikveh yet, so the old style way of heating things was pretty much take a pot of water and cook it up and throw it into the mikveh. So you can't do that in Yom Kippur. What did they do? They would heat up pieces like metal, bars of metal from before Yom Kippur. You actually had to do that before. You can't heat up the metal on Yom Kippur itself. To heat up a metal is a malachat deraisa of avara. And a fascinating shout this year on Yom Tif about the first day of Pesach, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody asked me about they had a splinter. They wanted to take the splinter out. So you're allowed to take a splinter on Shabbos and Yom Tif if it's hurting you. It's complicated, so you're allowed to. But they wanted to sterilize the needle. So they came from the old style way. Had your mother sterilize needles? Put it into the stove. So they wanted to know, can they sterilize the needle in the stove? What's the problem? When you expose a piece of metal, mamish, to a flame, so it changes the color of the metal a little bit. That's havara. That's considered like making the metal glow a little bit. So that's a problem. So you probably wonder, are you allowed to make a fire when you're on diff? So this is not even called making a fire from scratch, because I'm just extending, if you think about it, the flame's already there, and I stick it into your tequila, stick it into a flame or something. So the flame, now the flame is just engulfing more, how it's starting to eat up, to light up the metal. So that's like putting more fuel into the fire. So that should be okay. So it should be like adding more fuel to the fire. What's the problem? You're only allowed to add more fuel to the fire. You're allowed to light a fire in Yontif only if it's what? Only if it's the Tzarech HaChol Nefesh. Or if it's Mitoch. So Mitoch Shutra Havar L'Tzarech L'Tzarech. So how to light a fire from not a pre-existing flame, for sure also. But even from a pre-existing flame, you're allowed to light a fire if it's for some kind of Yontif-oriented Tzarech. So what does Mitoch mean? If I want to read, if it's cold in the house, all those things would be Mutar. Here I want to take out a splinter. What could possibly be wrong about that? The question is that called a davar shavu l'chol nefesh or not? Is that a normal type of a thing? If you heat up metal to get out splinters. The Gemara says in Ksubas of Zayin, the things that happen once in a blue moon, that's not considered to be a normal tzarech, and that's not covered by davar shavu l'chol nefesh. So there's a tosfos in the Masechta Shabbat that says, if a medav memur, if something is called an eino shavu l'chol nefesh, that's only if what? That's only if it's something that only like mefunakim use. Like people who are very exotic, kind of a pleasure. So the Gemara Zav Zayin Ksubas talks about a guy who wants to burn spices. And some little strange kind of a guy. He wants to make little spice burning or something. So that would be a davar she'eino shavu l'chol nefesh, hopefully, and that would be an issur d'oraisa on Yom Tov. The Tosfos writes, what if I'm doing something for some medicinal purposes, for some medical purposes, even though most people are not sick, but that's, you don't think the guy's crazy for doing it. If there's a justified medical need for doing it, so tzarech echayla, that by definition is considered to be a davar tzarech l'chol nefesh. That's a chiddush from Tosfos. Others say it's not true. Others say shavu l'chol nefesh means that normal people do it under normal circumstances. The guy does it once in a blue moon because he's sick. That's called einu shavu l'chol nefesh. It's a big enough community by carrying medicine. Halacha l'maaseh, you're allowed to carry medicine in Yom Tov. There's no eruv. Assuming you're allowed to take the medicine in Yom Tov. You're allowed to carry the medicine. So some people say you're not allowed to carry medicine in Yom Tov. It's a davar she'eino shavu l'chol nefesh. Other people, like, I need the allergy pill. And whatever medicine he would or would not be allowed to take. Assuming he's allowed to take it. But other people can say, no, that since you're doing it for medicinal purposes, that by definition is considered to be a shavu l'chol nefesh. Anyone know the famous Bnei Yeshua on that thesis? Very famous, one of the world's most famous Bnei Yeshua on that thesis. It's a thesis in Shams, it's a great prayer. Whatever you do for health reasons to enhance your body health is automatically mutar on Yom Tov. That was the famous Bnei Yeshua that permitted smoking on Yom Tov. He writes that you're allowed to light up a fire in order to smoke on Yom Tov. Why? Not everybody smokes. So it's not meant to be Shavu l'chol nefesh. So Bnei Yeshua writes, no, because the doctors say that it's healthy to smoke. So since you're doing it to keep your digestion, helps your nerves, helps your function better, maybe the healthiest dead person around, so the Yeshua writes that you're allowed to smoke on Yom Tov, basically. So other poskim thought that we don't pass like the Peshis. So that was a big machlokes for 200 years that the Peshis was right or not. Then in the later generations, when they realized that smoking is probably not the healthiest thing you can do in the world, so then you have to reevaluate that tzach. So obviously we can't be mocked for smoking. So obviously it's a mutchaila because it's an anus a chalisi. You're not allowed to smoke on a regular day anyway. So kavachem ben minosh kavachem smoke on Yom Tov. So belief himself, like no one in any ounce of Yerushalayim would ever in a million years think of smoking a cigarette. So the smoking on all year long is an issa gomim and a terrible lishim sofek, and on Yom Tov is an additional issa deraisa. The fin is that lishim sofek also. Anyway, just as an issa. But you probably remember the old days when they used to have candles in the shuls on Yom Tov. You remember? I was a little kid. And not as a little kid, their Yahrzeit candles were positioned in the shul in different corners for all the people to smoke. Wasn't that long ago? You remember? Shavuos night was for sure. That was for sure the whole night. There were little Yahrzeit candles all around the shul. I guess you weren't learning Shavuos. Okay, anyway, just as an aside. So I told this fellow that whether he's allowed to sterilize his nevus, big shot, they're isa maybe. Maybe Shavu in a Shavu Chol Nefesh. I said, according to Tosafot, it's okay. So what did I tell him to do? Come on, Dr. Mervin, you know, this kind of stuff. Yeah. I told him to take some of this garbage, put some of this Purell on it, and pour some magic. Good enough. Baruch Shekivanti. Okay, Baruch Shekivanti. So pour a little out. I said, pour some alcohol. He got all over. He said, Chometz, it's Chometz. Take the kosher Pesach schnapps, and you wouldn't have schnapps. Also, it is a chalas. Okay, whatever. Okay. You can have the chalas over Pesach beer. Right? That could do the trick. Okay. Also, it is a chalas. Okay. Good. What are we talking about? One of my kids was making fun of me. Right after Pesach, someone's whole beer, saga, this whole scandal with the beer, with the chalas over Pesach beer issue. So the whole thing broke. So, two, three, and Balabatim, Hachani, afterwards, davening about what to do. So, is the beer okay? And then they started asking about some shnapps. I said, it's awesome, you can't drink this stuff anyway. The whole year you shouldn't be drinking beer. Who bent over? I'm sugar bent over drinks beer. I'm sugar bent over drinks schnapps. Crazy, out of your mind. So the Balabat was still pushing me. So one of my, I think I've observed, said to me, the guy wants still to answer questions. Stop telling them they're not allergic. They know you say you're not allergic. Just answer this silly question enough. I said, I can't even address the question. I said, there's a maisa from the Netziv. Somebody came to the Tziv, and they apparently had showed him like some quote unquote Vatar that was written in some publication. The publication was not exactly in sync with the Torah values. Well, a lot of stuff that's bad. And although this particular piece, I think, was probably pretty good. There's probably some different Torah in it, but it was mixed there with all the other garbage. So they asked the Netziv what he thought, something along the lines of what he thought about it. So did he think that it's good, that it's a good piece, a good Shikul Torah? So he gave a marshal. He said there was once a person who was deathly ill. And the doctor said, Pekuach Nefesh, he has to have Chazer. So so basically chazer. But he felt so bad, how could I eat meat that wasn't shechted? It's all shechted chazer. Again, everyone knows what the shechita realizes. If you shechted chazer, it's the same chazer. It's the same nevel, the same chazer. The shechita is not tefis on the heimitz man. But it just bothered him. How could he not shechted? It's shechted. When he finishes shechting the meat, he says, how can I eat a piece of meat without opening up, checking the lungs? Yeah, what am I gonna do? It's chazir. What are you trying to check the lungs for? I can't bring myself without chazir. So he opens up chazir. I'm just shy in the lungs. What do you do? You bring a shy in the lungs. You have to get to the rabbi. So he comes to the rabbi. The chazir lungs. He says, Rabbi, tell me, what's the status of the chazir lungs? So the rabbi says, I'm in a quandary here. What am I supposed to say? If I'll say treif, but lemaisa, this lung is really technically, this is not a trachis of the lung. If I say kosher, how can I say kosher on a chazer lung? That's what the Tziv said back to this person. He said, you asked me to look at this half-baked shtickle Torah in the middle of all the chazer, so you want me to say, it's kosher. It shouldn't be here. So the whole thing is puzzled, the whole thing is trachis, throw the whole thing into the garbage. He said, I can't say the shtickle Torah is wrong, because it's not trachis, but it doesn't belong. Come on, leave it. Okay, anyway, what are we talking about? Oh yeah, that's what I was going to say. So the guy's lahakim b'chomesh over Pesach. A guy, Ben Tari, wants to know, can I sit around and have a beer party with my pals on Friday night? He wants to know, is the chomesh over Pesach? That's what he's bothered about. Should forget about chomesh over Pesach. Totally do our button anyway. No b'shus atari is much more chomesh over Pesach. Okay, back to Ashford. What are we talking about? I don't know where we are. How did we get there? Oh, about the needle, about the metal, the metal in the. I knew we get there somehow. Okay. It's been a long day. I'm very tired. So just when I get tired, I just go on autopilot. I don't know what's going to come out next. Stop saying shiur. Okay, so the Gemara in Yuma tells us that they had this galka system. They beat up the metal rods before Yom Kippur. Then they would throw it into the water on Yom Kippur itself. So throwing it into the water in Yom Kippur would heat up the water a little bit. Now, it didn't cook the water pamish. That would be chabishal deraisa. The goal was shetafik tzinosa. It would just take out the chill a little bit out of the water. So the old kohen gadol wouldn't get pneumonia by toifling in Yom Kippur morning. That was the goal. So comes the Gemara and says, wait a second, this is not such a great idea. Because the halom mitzarif, taking a hot piece of metal and throwing it to cold water is trouble in Hilchos Shabbos. That's what the Gemara calls mitzarif. And what exactly, which of the Lamites blocks is Mitzarev? So it's Machleg Zerushalayim. So Mishalayim say it's Machme Patish, because part of the process of strengthening metal is to heat the metal up and then immediately cool it down. So some of that, I don't know, gets the molecules jumping in all directions. I don't know how it works, but supposedly that's part of the metal making process. So when you throw these rods back into the water, that may be a shal of Mitzarev, maybe a shal of Machme Patish, or maybe a shal of Kibui, because you're extinguishing the glowing metal. So some kind of malach involved, they call mitzarif. So Amra Bibi Shlo Agil Tzirif. Bibi says, no, the Hocham HaEskinan, that the metal wasn't there, it wasn't hot enough. Apparently for this act of tzirif, whatever tzirif is, in order for that to be reached, it's got to be really, really reach a certain degree of heat, and they didn't let it get that hot on Yom Kippur night, so therefore we can circumvent that problem. So Rabibi is just a simple mitzias teretz, and if the sugya would end here, we'd have nothing to talk about. Abai says, no. Abai says, no, these metal rods, they were blazing hot. And in theory, if you would put them into cold water and be mitzarif them, they would become mitzuruf. So why is it mutter? Dovashem is kavin mutter. Because this is an age-old Dovashem is kavin. On Yom Kippur morning, what is the goal here? This poor, you know, little assistant kain. Right? His job is to... That's his goal, right? That's his job. He's to go take the hot rods and throw them into the cold water. So he's having in mind to be mitzarif. He's having in mind that the kohen gadol should be able to do the avoda. So he has absolutely no and zero intention of being mitzarif these rods. So the Gemara says, so what's the problem? It's a dav shem iskaven. Everything's great. So the Gemara says, really? Everything's great? Just because dav shem iskaven? Did Abaye really say that? The Dovashem Miskava is going to solve the world's problems? Is that really true? That we're getting all geared up for a really good kasha, right? We're expecting some knockout kasha from somewhere in 157 blot in Masech HaShabbos that's going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Dovashem Miskava is also. That's what we're getting ready for. Disappointed. This is the Gemara. This is the extent of the Gemara's cash. Well, me and Rabbi Hochi, did Rabbi really say this? For Hatanya, we learned in the Brisa, Besar Loso, Chumashia, this expasha. The Torah says, Bayom Ashmini Yimol Besar Loso. What word in the Pasuk is superfluous? Besar. Well, I know what Orla is. Orla is Besar Orla. So what does it mean, Besar Loso? Afiru Bebakam Shie Sham Baheres Yakuts. Divi Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia said that the word basar is coming to teach me. Basar, where's the word basar appear? Where's the word basar appear a lot of times? Parsha's Tazria, right? Same Parsha, about Tzaras. So the word basar is like a code phrase for Tzaras. So what the Torah is really saying is, "Vayayim hashbini yimol b'sar l'aso." You could do a bris milah, and you have to mechub do a bris milah. Afil b'makom sheisha beheretz yikotz. Even though there's a beheretz, beheretz is a nega tzaras. Even though it's nega tzaras, they still have to do the bris milah. Why would I have thought that you don't do a bris milah if there's a nega on that makom on the orla? Why would I think not to do a bris milah? Because what? Because there's an issa deraisa called kotzitz beheretz. You're not allowed to cut off the nega tzaras. There's an issa deraisa. Shom luchum b'nega tzaras. The pasuk says, you have to go to the kohen. You're not allowed to go take a sip. I'm going to go to the dermatologist and cut off the tzaras. You have to go to the kohen. It's a lav yichai malchus for cutting off the beheres. So I would have thought that this little baby has a beheres there. I shouldn't cut off. I shouldn't do the bila so fast. So comes the pasuk and says, no, yimo b'sar loso. And in fact, esei dochel loso. The mitzvah bila is doiched the lav of tzitz beheres. Great. So far, so good. Comes the word continues. The Habidan Ba, we discussed that brice of Basar, Afilu Yesh Beheres, and we raised the following question. Kro Lamali, what do I need a pasuk for? Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that I'm allowed to cut off the Taras? What's the kasha of the Gemara? Kro Lamali? What's the kash to Gemara? It's a dover she'eino miskaven. I'm not being miskaven to cut off the dagger. That's not my goal. My goal is to do the bris milah. So the Gemara already was bothered back on the Masechta Shabbos and Kufla Megimel. How come you need a pasuk to tell me that milah is derech tzaras? What's the case? That's mutter anyway. The Amr Abaye and Abaye answered that question by saying the Bryce is necessarily the Rabbi Yehuda dover she'eino miskaven also. According to Rabbi Yehuda, all dover she'eino miskaven is also. That's the question of the Gemara. I don't know what the answer is. That's the question of the Gemara. So the Gemara has this bomb kasha, super duper duper bomb kasha. You Abaye just got finished telling me that you're allowed to be in effect mitzaref. Why? Because it's davar she'eino miskaven, and davar she'eino miskaven translates to be mutter. How could you tell me that? After all, the only reason why I need the word basar to tell me that mila deichetzerahas, it would have been mutter anyway based on davar she'eino miskaven. It must be that davar she'eino miskaven is aser. That's the kash of the Gemara. Abaye in the base of Mikdash from Tzitzas Tzaras. What's bizarre about this Gemara? What is like the strangest thing about this Gemara? If I were to ask you, give me the top five Makairis about Dovah Shem Miskaven, you would have dreamt of this one? This is the raya that there's an issue of Dovah Shem Miskaven? What? There's something disconnected in the sugya. The Gemara is analyzing, yeah, Dovah Shem Miskaven, neither. I understand, the Gemara didn't know that there was Machlekes within Rabbi Shimon for the last 5,000 times in Shas, if Dov Shem Miskaven is mutter or not. It's a Sugin Shabbos, and it's a Sugin Psachim, it's a Sugin Nazir, it's a Sugin Sukkah, it's a Sugin Krisis, it's a Sugin Yud. It's a, all over Shas, Rabbi Shimon appear as arguing whether Dov Shem Miskaven is mutter or not. And the best the Gemara could come up with is, oh, by the way, oh yeah, by golly, there's a Yimo Besar Aloso, oh, and we had a discussion about that, and we came to the conclusion, so you see from there, Akasha. What is really going on? What's the Gemara really bothering with you, Lisa? What's the Gemara's real question? What's the Gemara's real emissary question? Do we have any question that we're following Rabbi Yehuda? Who was the author of the Brayis about in the base of Mikdash? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, wasn't coincidental. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Asher Asher Shobar. So the Gemara is debating whether Rabbi Yehuda accepts Dov Shem Miskaven or not. What is going on? What is the Nekuda Sadiyun in the Sugya? You tell me, guys. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, the Dov Shem Miskaven is Asur. The Gemara is not sure what? Does Asur mean it's Asur Midarai? So does Asur mean it's Asur Midarai? We know Rabbi Yehuda holds Dov Shem Miskaven is Asur. We have Mishnayos. Mishnah is Bryce, it's 100 sugyas in Shas, Dov Shem Miskaven is also. What the Gemara is not sure about is this a problem in HaTorah, or is this only a problem in Derbanan? That is the sugya. That's what Yuma Daf Lamed Daled is addressing between the lines. And that's exactly what the Gemara's kasha was. Read the kasha now, much more carefully. The Gemara's kasha, how in the world can you throw these hot rods into the water? It's the Chmetzarev. So Rav Bibi gave a tech chokmah skin that's not a gilutziyah. We don't want that now. Amr Abaye, what did Abaye say? Dover she'eino miskaven mutter. So explain to me what that means. What do you mean dover she'eino miskaven mutter? This is who's speaking? Who's speaking here? Abaye saying pshat in which tana? Amr Rav Yehuda, what do you mean dover she'eino miskaven mutter? What did Abaye mean when you read those words? Amr Abaye, Dov Shem Miskaven Mutter. It's within the mouthpiece of Rabbi Yehuda. What he must have meant was that it's not a Nisa D'Oraisa. It's only a Nisa D'Rabbanon. And then you have to add, Nisa D'Rabbanon, how does Nisa D'Rabbanon become Mutter? Rabbi Yehuda is telling us what they did, not what they theoretically did in the Torah. You have to add on a little fact that doesn't say in the Gemara. At least not yet. What do you have to add on? You have to add on the Rabbanon plus Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. Basically, Ein Shvus B'Mikdash knocks down all the Rabbanons in the base of Mikdash just about to becoming Mutter. That's why the Ashashia Shabarzel I suppose. That's why the Shoshana Basla Mutter. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda is willing to permit you to put these hot rods into the water, even though he knows if there's going to be tziruf taking place, it's okay. It's all right. Because of two factors combined together. Number one, Davashir Miskavit, even Lididei, the contributor is only Asim and Derabanan. And number two, it's only Derabanan, and Shoshana Mikdash translates to the Kabbalah. That was Abai's answer. When Abai said those magic words, Amr Abai, Akalam and Dalam Abai, Amr Abai, was Abai Amr, Afilu Tem Shigil Tziruf, Davashir Miskavit, Mutter. What he was really saying was two factors. And that's what the Gemara is about to ask for. That's what the Gemara jumps on. What's the Gemara's kasha? Umi Amr Abai Hachi. Did Abai really hold within Rabbi Yehuda, Davashir Miskavit is only Asur, what? Midrabanan, is that true? Prove to me from this brisa that Abaye held according to Rabbi Yehuda, Davashir Miskavit is also in the Torah. You can't bring me a raya that Rabbi Yehuda asks Davashir Miskavit. That doesn't prove anything. I know Rabbi Yehuda asks Davashir Miskavit. What point am I contesting now? I need a proof positive that Rabbi Yehuda holds Davashir Miskavit is also what? What do I need now? What's the next stage, logically? The raisa. So that Abaye is about the proof. What's the proof? We have this braisa that teaches us you need a pasuk to tell me you can do mila b'tzaras, which doesn't really make any sense because I could figure out on my own stuff. To which Abai said, no, Hachamayiskin and Rabbi Yehuda needs the braisa. Rabbi Yehuda needs the pasuk. If you need a pasuk for something, what is that indicating? Lulei the pasuk, it would have been asim in a Torah. Why is it asim in a Torah? It's only davshem miskaven. Zaven fanda, you see from here that in the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda, davshem miskaven is an issa d'araisa. That's the Gemara's kasha. Who here read this Gemara the first time around and understood that's exactly what's going on in the sugya? Who here, honestly? Who here read the Tosfos and then realized how to read this Gemara properly? Who here reads the Gemara properly now? Who here understands? Nobody? Three hands? Three and a half hands up? Okay, so we'll make it the four hands. So the bottom line is only one nekuda in the sugya that matters. Is Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Davashir Miskavit, Asa B'Torah, Asa B'Drabban. Abaye is clearly in the Beis HaMikdash saying it's only in Asa B'Drabban. But Abaye, in understanding the requirement, the necessity for a pasuk by Tzaras, is assuming that it's a Deraisa. That was the kasha of the Gemara. What's the Gemara's answer? So what taka is the answer? Is Rabbi Yehuda Asa, Davashir Miskavit, Asa B'Torah, Asa B'Drabban? What's the Gemara's answer? Let's read the next line of the Gemara. So back to you, B'Daf Lamed Aleph. Answers the Gemara. Hani mili b'chol ha'tera kula. Aval hocha tziruf d'rabbanan hu. Anyone want to tell me what that means? Sometimes d'raisa, sometimes not. What's the difference? What? That's not Tosfos says. That's what Rashi says. That's not what Tosfos says. Again, the Gemara's kasha going to Tosfos was, make up your mind, be consistent. Is Davashir Miskavit also in the Torah or also in d'rabbanan? So the answer is, there are different areas of halacha. Sometimes you're in Hilchas Shabbos area, and sometimes you're in Hilchas, what's the other area? Tzaras halacha, which is an example of Kol Torah Kula. That's exactly what the Gemara said. In Hilchos Shabbos, Davashir Miskavit is only Asa B'Derabbanan. In Hilchas Kol Torah Kula, Davashir Miskavit is Asa B'Deraisa. And therefore, everything is Amakama Yom Rishon, everything is Hanky Dom. Rabbi Yehuda in Maseches Yuma, but he was discussing Yom Kippur Shabbos, the same thing. He was discussing Malachas and Shabbos, so he held that Davashir Miskavit, even according to Rabbi Midraban, and therefore in Shus Mikdash permits it even L'Chanchila. When was the Deraisa? In Hilchos Taras, or for that matter, in all other areas of Halacha minus of the Shabbos. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda is it's also Deraisa, therefore necessitating a Pasuk to be moderate, notwithstanding the fact that it's a Davashir Miskavit. That is the answer. That's how you read the Gemara, according to Tosfos. The Gemara says those magic words, Hani mil b'chol Torah Kula, that means, when is it the Araisa? B'chol Torah Kula. Aval hocha tziruf d'rabbanan, who means, here, what does here mean? In Hilchos Shabbos, it would only be d'rabbanan, and therefore, interest makes it's going to be moderate. That's what Tosfos reads the Gemara. Now, when you read a Gemara like this, you read a Tosfos like this, you have to answer, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. It's counterintuitive. Should I be more machmir in Shabbos or in Tzaras? Which is the higher level? Which is the more serious violation? Shabbos is skila. So why in the world do the rules change? It should be flipped around. I should be much stricter in Shabbos than I am in Tzeras. What does Shabbos have going for it that Kol Tarkul doesn't? The two magic words, Melech Mach Shabbos. Anyone who learned Shabbos with me will remember, hopefully fondly. Melech Mach Shabbos is an all-encompassing code phrase that was used in the construction of the Mishkan, which now carries over to Shabbos, which basically means that if you're not planning what you're doing, and you're not doing it for constructive, for a well-thought-out, organized plan, reason, so then it's going to fall short of being a Deraisa. Claims Tosfos, according to everybody's worldview, Bein Rabbi to Rabbi Shimon, the Cholatar, there is no person who could ever say, Dov Shimon's Kavan is awesome in Deraisa and Shabbos. It can't be, because it's the ultimate lack of Melechas Mach Shabbos. It's the steer, it's the outright contradiction to Melechas Mach Shabbos. In other areas of Halacha, we can negotiate. Maybe it is Deraisa, maybe it's not. Maybe it's Mutter, it's, I don't know. But in Shabbos, it is inconceivable that anyone should tell me Dov Shimon's Kavan is innocent Deraisa in Shabbos, because it is a clear, flagrant violation of the requirement of Melechas Mach Shabbos. And according to Tosfos, that is the underlying piece of this entire figure. That is everything of Yuma the Lama Dalam is trying to get across, is this chiluk, that what's the answer to our question? Is Dov Hashem is Kavan contributed to Raisa and Rabbanah? The answer is, it depends. But in Hilchos Shabbos, it's clearly what? With Rabbanah. So it took us 20 minutes to learn the sugi in Yuma properly, according to Tosfos at least. And we now found that sugi that compelled Tosfos and Sukkadaf Lama Gibbel to say, hey, wait a second, the Gemara where doesn't make any sense? Which Gemara doesn't make any sense now? Once we discovered Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph, which Gemara becomes impossible at face value? Krisus Daf Chof, because Krisus Daf Chof says Rabbi Yehuda Chayov can't be. So that's got the ball rolling, that got the engine going. So because Tosfos had, you know, it's amazing, because Tosfos didn't even tell us which Gemara they were talking about. Tosfos just said, as it's Poshut, I in what we wrote, you know, 100 other places in Shas. That's the Gemara Tosfos had in the back pocket. Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph, the way they learned the Sugya, creates the impossibility of reading the Gemara Kapshuto and Krisus Daf Chof, forced them to make Krisus Daf Chof a Psik Reisha, which forced the question from Sukkah Daf Lamed Gimel, which forced them to introduce Melech Yatzich Lagufa, which forced them to revamp the whole Sugya and get into textual problems. Everything and everything can be traced back to one Sugya alone, Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph. So if you walk away from anything in Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph, you realize that, according to Tosfos, Tov Hashem is Kavin, Kol Tarkul is also their Isaac contributor, and Shabbos is telling you about Melech Mach Shabbos.
Isn't there a problem with that Gemara?
No, the Tanoim, we're not fighting about whether it's Mutter. The Tanoim, we're fighting about whether the guy brings a carbon or not. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, it would be maybe Mutter. The Tanoim we're not discussing. They're not running a safe in Hilchos Shabbos. They were passing in Shabbos in the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi say, everything is revolving around that Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph.
Yeah, in our case in Yuma, isn't that Psik Reisha though? Wouldn't that get rid of the
Melech Mach Shabbos? Notice what doesn't even make the mark in Yuma. There's not a mention, not a Zecher Psik Reisha.
Yeah, but shouldn't there be?
Shouldn't there be? Excellent question. So you know who asked that question? The Gemara in Masech Shabbos Kuflam Yom. And the Gemara says that that whole Shach Vatayah of Abaye was before Abaye realized that what? That there's an institution called Psik Reisha. Okay, got it. Okay, good. So Rabbi said everything traced back to Daf Lamed Aleph. And it was the Kasha. For the Gemara was, what's going on? Mila Dech Atzeras. What do you need a Pasuk? Dov Hashem is coming. Anyone have a clue what the Gemara is talking about? I'm coming to cut off the negatzeras for some other reason, some other agenda. I want to give my kid a bris. I'm not particularly interested in cutting off the negatzeras. What did the Gemara call that? What category did the Gemara just call that? Dover? Shame is Kevin. Really? I'm cutting off this negatzeras on the Ora Orla, knowing full well what I'm doing. I'm doing exactly what I'm intending to do. I know exactly what I'm doing. Full, complete concentration and intention. And that's called Dov Shem Iskavit. Give me some examples of Dov Shem Iskavit. Good examples of Dov Shem Iskavit. Give me an example. One example.
Okay,
What? Dragging the bench. What makes that a davar she'en miskaven? Think about it for a little bit. Anytime and every time you begin to introduce a sugya of davar she'en miskaven, you start off with the following thing. I'm doing action, and what's happening? Doing action A, and there's a chance action B is going to happen. That's part of the, that we've heard a thousand times with me, right? I'm doing action A, and there's a chance action B is going to happen. I'm dragging a bench. Ken Zion, it could be, if she had the name, maybe the hole's going to be made or not. That's that is the classic example of Dov Shem's game. Give me a classic example of Malach Shem Tzichu Gufa. Give me the case. This is the case we used before. I'm carrying the dead body. Right? Would you call carrying the dead body out of the house a Dov Shem Miskaven? I don't want to use the body. What's the problem? What's the problem? Why can't I plug in the principle of Dov Shem Miskaven to carry the dead body? There's no B. There's only A. The action is carrying the dead body. What makes something Lo Shem Tzich L'Gufa? Not a chisod in the Maiseh, in the chisod in where? In the Tachlis. In what my goal is. If my goal is similar to Mishkan Chai, my goal is different than Mishkan Potter. There's only one Maiseh. It's a Maiseh so being done, albeit with a different mindset, with a different goal. That's the classic definition, distinction between Dov Shem Miskaven and Lo Shem Tzich L'Gufa. So, I don't understand. I'm cutting off the negatzarah. The negatzarah is on the Ora Orla. That's where it is. I'm taking the knife, I'm cutting off the Ora Orla with the negatzarah. The whole one shot. If I had to call that something, I would call it a what? I'm not particularly interested in removing the negatzarah. I just want to give the kid a bris. I want to, you know, give my drush to Sir Bagels and get to the party. I'm not interested in getting rid of this. Or I don't care. This is a classic candidate for what category in halacha? Malach Shem Tzichu Gufa. Malach Shem Tzichu Gufa. We have action A and B. This is Malach Shem Tzichu Gufa. What's the problem with that statement? Malach Shem Tzichu Gufa is only a p'tua where? In Hilchos Shabbos. We never heard of such a p'tua. There's no call. Isser and it's Yichel Gufa. Malach Shem Tzichu Gufa is something that's derived from Mishkan. It's a very, very unique, detailed Hilchos Shabbos. There's zero relevance outside of Hilchos Shabbos. Dov Shem Miskaven applies to Kol Terkul. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Shimon, a Nazir can play with his hair a little bit, even though there's a chance he may pull out some hairs, that's okay. Dov Shem Miskaven. The Gemara has Sugis and Psochim and Nazir of Dov Shem Miskaven outside of Hilchos Shabbos. So Dov Shem Miskaven is a din klali, but Malach Shem Tzichu Gufa is a din prati. So what in the world is the Gemara and Yuma talking about on Daf Lamed Aleph? That's asking Akasha, what's Rav Yehuda's version? What's his view on Dov Shem Miskaven? After all, in the Sugya of Kotzis Beheres, he said something different than he said by Mitzarev. What? That's not even the right Sugya. That's Dov Shem Tzichu Gufa. It's not Dov Shem Miskaven. And if it's Dov Shem Tzichu Gufa, it's not even relevant outside of Hilchos Shabbos. So this Gemara and Yuma, which is the source for everything, this is the engine that's driving the tide. This is what's making the next three sugyas. This is going to take us till the buzzer. It's this kasha, this sugya of Sechaz Yuma, is incomprehensible. Mineyu Bey, forget about Taisus, the sugya is incomprehensible. The Gemara is violating Klal Gadol Hilchos Shabbos. It is mixing and matching Dov Shem Miskaven and Malach Shem Tzichu Gufa, and they're so radically different. One's within Shabbos, one's within Kol Terkula, one's within one mice, one's within two mice. They have mamish nothing to do with each other. So it's very hard to derive things from that sugya if you don't even know what the ABCs of that sugya are. So this is not my cash. Whose cash is this? Tos does this cash.
Does it mean all that
it's
the same thing?
Oh, shh. Tos says it's a gracious law. Michalai is by default in Lach Shem. We got a long way to go. I can't even talk about that yet. Whose cash is this? Who remembers? Whose cash is this? Everybody remember whose cash is this? The Rashba's kasha. The Rashba and Shabbos Kuf Lamed Gimel is. The Rashba says he doesn't know what in the world is the Gemara talking about. The Gemara is missing. This is the Hilchos Shabbos 101. Literally the ABs. No pun intended. The ABs of Hilchos Shabbos. One mice, two mice. This is a whole Gemara mamash tilik one. The clearly Etzayif. So before we can go back to Etzayif, before we can analyze the Tos, before we can see all the problems that Tos created based on that Gemara, We gotta go back to drawing board, understand that Gemara properly. You don't remember the Teretz? What? Right. So hopefully that's jump tomorrow. It's a Taras, I guess, so hopefully it'll a little tapash to Zoom tomorrow. Okay, hopefully that's a tomorrow. What time do we decide she has tomorrow? What time is it? Soon as it's 12?
The
Yom Yom,
and then
when is the Yom Yom?
Yom Yom is a different shear. 9 to 12.